tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Swat!
King of Crack!
The Colossus of Cloud! The Colossus of Cloud!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producers, Eric Ostrowski, this week. We're here talking about collectibles, the values of things, items that are running in the Huggins and Scott auctions. If you have an item you think you might have value to it, you can give us a call at 312-332-3776. Is that outside the window? Is that Miss America there?
Miss Illinois, actually.
Or Miss Illinois. Look at that.
How's it going today?
Very cool. Hi. Welcome to the show. That's very neat.
Nice.
Miss Illinois
very nice.
just hanging out outside the window. Bill, see, this is what happens when you're not in the studio. You miss out.
Absolutely. Gosh, I'm jealous already.
All right. Well, we've got a prize to give away this week. Last week's winner didn't pick up, so we have a box of Panini Threads basketball, and we're going to add a pack of Topps Tribute Baseball 2017. It's only one pack, but it's a $45 pack, so this is a good extra prize to give away. If you give us a call at 312-332-3776, if you have an item you think you might have value to it, you get in the drawing, and at the end of the show, Vince will pick one winner out of all the callers, or if you tweet a picture of an item, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use that on the program, you'll get in the drawing that way. Now, we're going to talk about some of the items that are already, Huggins and Scott, this is going to be a good auction in August. The bidding begins July 24th and goes through August 8th. Lots of items are already up at HugginsandScott.com. This was an interesting item, Bill, and I didn't even know this backstory on this one. Andy Semenik, 1944 or 45, Phillies Blue Jays game-worn jersey. So it's a Philadelphia Phillies on the front, but it's got a Blue Jays logo on the sleeve. I didn't realize this story, but I guess in 1943, lumber baron William Cox purchased the Phillies, but he was banned for betting on the team. So the new owner, Bob Carpenter Jr., came in. He tried to help the team's image. He unofficially changed the name to the Blue Jays, but it didn't work, and they ended up dropping it in 49. I guess, you know, they still had the Phillies on the front of the jersey, I think, all those years, right, Bill? But they had the Blue Jays logo, and I guess they were trying to have people call them the Blue Jays, but the Philly fans, I guess, weren't really behind that. Do I have that story pretty well right?
I think you do. I mean, it's sort of a 1 year type jersey, I think, or maybe 2 years. I don't know. And there's just not many of them around. And I think it could be one of only two or three that have ever been known to be still in existence. And the player that it is, the catcher, Andy Semenik, is probably the best known of the other ones that have surfaced.
Yeah, that's it. That $10,000 minimum bid on that one. Andy Semenik played 1943 to 57. He was on the Phillies Whiz Kids World Series team in 1950, a catcher. His 162 game average, .243 batting average, but 20 homers and 69 RBIs for a catcher.
That's not bad. That's good,
a .347 on base percentage. So, yeah, he was a good player without a doubt. And that'll be interesting to see what it does. Andy Semenik, Phillies Blue Jays game-worn jersey. It's really cool. If you go to HugginsandScott.com, you can see they have pictures of it. I think I might have tweeted pictures of it already. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID also earlier in the week, where, and then with a link to the bidding on it at HugginsandScott.com. Now, also,
well, I'll tell you, Tom, I just wanted to mention real quick.
Yeah.
This week we actually got a collection in Chicago, a gentleman that I was out there in March, and we've been going back and forth, and he's been deciding that does he want to do this, does he not. He wrote a book about collecting Mickey Mantle cards. He actually has the foreword on the book was written by Mantle's two sons, and
wow,
he met Mantle several times, and he for the August auction, for the national auction, he's giving us his entire Mantle collection.
Oh, my gosh.
This is unbelievable. I've talked with PSA. They're going to encapsulate these things as the Bill Weiland Mantle collection and everything. Ooh. But what he's got is, you know, on top of the 52 Mantle and 51 and all that stuff, some of the rare Mantle cards that he has have not been seen in years and decades, some of them that have been available. And he's actually going to be at the show with us, you know, selling and signing copies of his book during the national.
Wow, that is really cool. So when did he finally decide he was gonna let him go?
This week.
Really? He just did, huh? Wow.
We've been going back and forth with this and that and other, you know, things, and he called me this week and he says, "Are you sitting down?" And I'm like, "Well, okay, I'll just sit down." We're going to do this.
Wow. Well, maybe that'll help Mark. Mark stopped by T Crown. Mark's the guy with the 60s and 70s, early 70s Cubs game used bats. He brought him in. He came in with his friend Noel, who dropped off some cards for the auction. He's run cards in the past and been happy with it, so he put some more in. And his friend Mark was in, and Mark listens to the show. But you could tell he really likes those bats. Yeah, and yeah. He's like, "Well, I don't know. I got to think about it." I was holding the bats and going, and they had another friend with them, and they're like, "Well, Tommy, you think you can reel them in?" And as they're walking out the door, I go, "It looks like the big one got away here." But those were real, a Santo bat, a Billy Williams bat.
The memories really from neat. Childhood of that Cubs team, yeah, in the late 60s, early 70s, you're just so, we're all connected to that. Yeah. It'd be hard to give that up.
Oh,
right?
Without a
doubt. I understand.
Glenn Beckert bat. Yep. I think the Beckert bat had a bunch of pine tar still on it. I mean, it was really neat. Cool. I guess Beckert's not doing very well. It sounded like when he went to pick up his World Series ring, he wasn't doing real well. So that's too bad. He was always a really good player.
Yep.
Scrappy player.
Yep.
All right, well, let's get to a couple of phone calls here. We've got Mark from Manhattan on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've got a couple of McGuire Olympic rookie team cards that I know at one time had pretty good value. I know things have changed, but I'm just calling to see if those things still have any value.
Really, there's only value to them if you can get them graded. If you had a PSA 10, you've got something good still. Nines are okay, but other than that, they don't sell for very much money. I remember at one point, nines were selling for like $900 at the peak, and I don't think you're getting anywhere near that on a nine now.
I think that's got a shot to increase in value over time, Tom, or is McGuire tied into the PEDs just not going to get that fanfare?
It seems to me, and Bill, you tell me if you agree with this or not, but it seems to me the guys who fessed up and admitted to it and talked about it, their stuff seems to be doing better than the guys who still were clearly doing it and deny it.
Right.
Do you agree with that, Bill?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and, you know, Andy Pettit and a couple of the other guys who sort of admitted to it, their stuff, it's just a matter of, I think, do these guys get in the Hall of Fame? You know, if they do, then their stuff, then they're now Hall of Famers. If not, they are... just kind of on the outside looking in.
It seems like some of the voters that when you hear them interviewed, they're starting to loosen up about that some. It wouldn't surprise me if some of the guys do make it in, like Bonds and McGuire and Clemens. It wouldn't surprise me at all, because I think guys that they thought would have made it if they had never done steroids, those guys, they seem to have a shot anyway. I mean, it seems like a pretty good shot of making it somewhere down the road. I don't know. Sosa seems like there's so much negativity around
him. And Palmeiro, you know, just kind of
where they still are denying it. And those guys, it might be tougher for them.
I agree.
Mike from Bartlett's online. What do you have there, Mike?
Yeah, I heard your opening about the Babe Ruth ball, and I'm that kid who, when I was about 6 or 7, I took Joe DiMaggio signed ball that my dad got from his father and proceeded to play catch on our concrete driveway with a friend of mine. And, you know, we were 6 or 7, so we were skipping them in and throwing them over each other's head. And by the time we were done, the ball was pretty much, you know, you can still see the signature, but it's all scuffed up. And I was just curious on what something like that might be worth. It is still signed by Joe DiMaggio, but
yeah,
it is pretty well.
And Joe DiMaggio's signed balls are nowhere near as valuable as Babe Ruth, so you didn't cost yourself as much.
Okay.
It wasn't quite as bad. But
was your punishment, Mike? Did you get punished? What happened to you?
Till this day, well, you know, my dad passed 7 years ago, God rest his soul, but up till then, you know, it was a running joke between him and I, you know, what I did do and how stupid I was for doing it. But who knew that these things would have the value they would have nowadays? You know?
Yeah, so we had a guy about maybe 10 years ago that called the show, and he had a Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig double signed ball with a bunch of other signatures on it of other baseball players, and we're like, oh wow, that's nice. And then the butt came in. He goes, but they played with it, and they wrote, like, Johnny wrote his name on it, and it still had value to it. And so I was telling my brother the story, because my brother used to listen to the show all the time, and I was like, man, that's something, you know, playing with the ball like that. He goes, yeah, he laughs and he goes, that's like the time we were playing with the 59 White Sox World Series team signed ball. I was like, what? I didn't even remember it. It's like, well, you were the older brother. That must have been your idea. Those are the stories that sometimes you just don't know about. I still have on the wall at T-Crown a 1966 Ernie Banks card that I wrote good man on it when I was a kid. So we're not always the brightest.
that was my big flounder, though.
But really, you've got better stories to tell about your DiMaggio than the value would even be worth. So it wasn't such a bad thing for you.
Yeah,
those memories are priceless, you know. Priceless.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mike. Now, also in the Huggins and Scott coming up in the July 24th through August 3rd, August Huggins and Scott auction. Here's a Sherry McGee T206, 1909-11, T206 white borders error card where they spelled M-A-G-I-E on the front. PSA good too. $2,500 minimum bid. That's one of the big cards from the tobacco set, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, yeah. That's sort of one of the big three, big four, they call it. And that, the Wagner, the Plank, and the Doyle error sometimes get thrown in as the big four. But, yeah, no, that's a key card. A lot of people have the set missing the big three, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, also, coming up in the auction, it's good timing for this. The Derek Jeter jersey just got retired. This is a 1995-97 Derek Jeter signed game-used bat, PSA DNA 9.5, $2,500 minimum bid on that. Have you seen a Jeter bat from that era sell, Bill? I would think that's going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I think Ricky did some research on this. He was working with the lady who had this and sent it in, and I'm thinking it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 5 to 15,000 or more.
Yeah, wow. That'll be interesting. He's definitely got a lot of fans, without a doubt. Superman Todd is on the line. What's up there, Superman?
Oh, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Morning, guys. I'm honored to have my own introduction on the show.
Yeah, we couldn't get to Vince's today. There we go. We didn't have it up and running right on time.
I got something a little different this morning. I'm sure you guys are familiar with those Funko Pop figures.
Yeah, Bill might be more than I am, but I like the name.
Trump, Sanders, and Clinton. I just picked up the Trump from my mom. She finally came in town, but I've got all three of them signed.
Really? So now, did you go get them signed or chase them down?
The Clinton and Sanders, I got myself. My mom caught Trump during the campaign, and she had finally gotten in town and brought it to me night before last.
Really? Was Bill Huggins, any idea on the value on those babies?
Jeez, gosh. I don't know that I've ever had any of those, those before. We've had some Trump things, but all three of those things are, thousands for sure. How many? I don't know.
That would be a nice one to try in the auction and see what they did end up doing. That would be interesting. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. Run every Saturday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles if you want to call us with a question about something. If you do, you get in a drawing. We're giving away this week a box of 2016-17 Panini Threads basketball and a pack of Topps Tribute baseball. Topps Tribute has a hit per pack, either a relic card or an autograph.
It's a nice product.
One of the regulars last week, Dennis, he always he calls reserve boxes, picks them up, takes them, opens it at home. He opened a really good tribute box. He said it had two Aaron Judge autographs in it.
Very nice.
One of them was a lower numbered one and also something numbered to 10. So, yeah, these packs are good. I mean, it's a $45 pack, and then you got the basketball box with it. You can also, if you tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If we use that on the show, you get in the drawing also, which Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show. And after the break, now we've got a short break coming up, but after the break, I know there's people that have been telling me that how their batting average on which ended higher ranks with Vince's. So we'll do which ended higher after the break. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Saturday from 7 to 8 talking about the value of collectibles, talking about things in the Huggins and Scott Auctions, items that bring into me at Triple Crown in Naperville and show me, I tweet pictures of. And then you can call if you have an item you think might be valuable. We have a drawing every week. We give away a prize. This week we're giving away a 2016-17 Panini Threads basketball box plus a pack of 2017 Topps Tribute baseball. But before we get to the callers, it's time for Which Ended Higher. Now, these are items that ended in the May Huggins and Scott auction. Now, this one shows that not everything has to be $20,000 or $10,000. There's some items that are in there that sell for under $1,000. So that's a hint right here, Vince.
Okay.
Okay. First item, 1968 Topps Nolan Ryan rookie with a PSA 5 grade, so mid-grade. 1969 Topps Jim Palmer graded SGC Gem Mint 98, and the only one that's gotten that high of a grade, 1969 Topps Palmer. And then the third item, a 1967 Topps Mantle PSA 8. I'm making a PSA or a 1967 Topps set, but I think an 8 would be a little outclassed on the class of my set. So. Okay, what do you think,
these are
Vince?
Probably real close in value here.
They're close.
So you put them in the same group usually. But I'm going to go with, I have to go with the 67 Mantle. What does that mean? Is that good?
It means it's good. All you
right.
won.
All
you
right.
got it right.
I'm like 5 for 10 now, you know?
Look at that batting average.
Yep, not
500.
Bad, not bad.
Okay, the PSA 8 67 Topps Mantle, 550. The Ryan PSA 5, 525. And the Jim Palmer, $400. Which
not
may
bad.
Not sound like a lot, but like if I have that Palmer in like lower grade on the pegboard at T-Crown, it's hard to get 10 bucks for it.
Yeah,
so
right.
The condition definitely helped that one. Paul from Kenosha's on the line. What do you have there, Paul?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I came across some old stuff I had from a friend of mine. His uncle is a pretty famous guy, Daniel J. Travanti.
Oh, from...
He's from Kenosha, yeah.
Hill Street Blues.
Right, I have all kind of... He brought me back some stuff from the set when he went out to visit his uncle one year.
Hmm.
And I have an autopsy report from one of their victims.
So this is a fake autopsy report from a TV show? Is
that... Right, from Hill Street Blues.
Yeah, from Hill Street Blues. That's kind of interesting.
I have a little note that's signed from Captain Daniels to Captain, or from Chief Daniels to Captain Ferrillo.
Ah.
And then I have a loan application for Mick Belker.
Oh.
He was the crazy guy who growled
at
everyone.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what that guy's name. We used to watch that show, the guy that growled at everybody. That Belker was his name. What do you have from him?
It's a loan application.
Okay.
It filled out from top to bottom. And this one, and there's no way of proving that it's from actually the set. It's a piece of chalk from Esther House when he'd fill out the roll call and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then a little pink schedule, a program or production schedule dated 10/18/84.
Huh. Now, does this have paperwork with it or anything?
No,
His
nephew was a friend of mine.
Okay.
He's an umpire at the ballpark I announced games at. And he goes, "Hey, Paul, I got this stuff for you. I scarfed it off the, you know, off the set when I was visiting my uncle." And one of the best stories was, he said, "Hey, guess who I was in the swimming pool with today?" I go, "I don't know, Robbie. Who?" He said, "Veronica Hamill."
Oh.
That's a good story there, Rob.
Did he take pictures that you can tweet to us, Paul?
No pictures.
Oh, come on. All right, well... Bill Huggins, can you give us a price value with or without the chalk?
Well, Paul, do any of the items have a little tag attached to them?
There was nothing tagged at all. He's just stuff he picked up while he's sitting in there talking to his uncle.
Oh, okay. Because we have sold a lot of movie props and TV show props and everything, but most of them have it's just a little tag that's kind of wire attached to the... to the item that has the date, the episode, and whatever kind of written in on there by one of the technicians or something. And some of those things bring some good money, depending on what it is. It's just sometimes if it doesn't have any provenance with it,
right,
you don't come with the item to tell the story if it's kind of bad place to hear it.
Yeah. So it may have to just be good stories for you, Paul.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay. Now, tying in with this, Michael Swanson on Twitter tweeted to my attention here. He has screen worn and matched from the film Rudy. It's a number 9 jersey, not worn by Rudy himself, but a few other cast members. Now he's got the pictures here. It's a full size. It's a kind of a cool looking jersey. And then there's a cast photo with one of the guys wearing the number 9. Another time, another guy's wearing the number 9. Certificate of authenticity with this one. Screen used. Notre Dame number 9 football jersey production Rudy. Not sure who the certificate is from, Bill, but what do you think of that one?
Well, it would be nice if it was the jersey. I think, didn't he wear number 45 or something?
45 or 60. Yeah, I think so. So that would have been better, yeah.
Oh, that would. That thing would sell for a bazillion dollars.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's got some provenance with it and everything, it's certainly marketable. I mean, I would say it's a few $100 on its worst day.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Now, if Michael decided he wanted to auction that, would that be something you'd want to try or no?
Yeah, I would just want to see the certificate. And like you said, who signed this certificate of authenticity? That would be kind of
he's got the picture up here. I'd probably have to blow it up to really be able to tell for sure. It's some props and wardrobe company, screen used or something. I don't know. We'd have to check that one out. But it's kind of interesting anyway. And it ties right in with Paul from Kenosha's story.
Yes, it does.
So that was good. We like to tie things in. If you've got lots, you know, and you send them to Huggins and Scott, they lot them. We like to tie things in.
I think
here
you could
too.
Tie any two random things that have no connection. You could find a way to tie them together, Tom.
Or try to anyway.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, speaking of props and clothing, okay, I'm going to tie this one in. Daniel from Twitter, I think he had called the show a long time about this, and a week or so ago he found it, and he tweeted a picture of it. He had a Pete Rose custom suit. I think the designer was Pepe something. And looking at the suit, I think it might have been Pepe Le Pew. It was a pretty bad suit. I don't know. It was from maybe 30, 35 years ago. But now Bill Huggins, a Pete Rose custom suit, which would end higher if Vince got quizzed? The Rudy jersey not worn by Rudy or a Pete Rose designer suit?
Well, I mean, you know, Pete Rose, you know, with all the controversy and stories around him, he still, his stuff still sells like a Hall of Famer.
It does.
Know? And he's, you know, beloved by fans, I think, that, you know, could care less what he did off the field. They remember what he did on the field. And, I don't know. I think we had another suit. It was worn by, the Pistons coach,
Chuck Daly.
Yeah. Oh. That we sold years ago. I don't remember what that went for, but.
I think he had some pretty gaudy suits too. I would think Pete Rose might go for more, don't you? So this might be an auction item then.
Oh, I would certainly run that. Is it the whole pants and jacket?
I think so. He had the jacket pictured for sure, and it had Pete Rose, you know, like stitched into it, and then the designer name. Yeah. So I mean, it was pretty cool from that standpoint. I guess you could picture him wearing it. Okay, that would be a good auction item. Okay, let's get back to a couple phone calls here. We've got Bobby from Naperville. What do you have there, Bobby? Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, what's up?
You know who this is?
Yes, is this Bob's son, Bobby?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? How you been?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just had to call and say hi, man. I can't believe you're on the radio. I love it. I think it's great.
Just driving around today, it's like, hey, I recognize that voice.
I heard the voice, and I'm like, God, that sounds like Adam Carolla from The Man Show. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why the hell do I know this voice?
This is an honest-to-God story. About 7 or 8 years ago, when we used to be on Saturdays, a couple guys came in from Chicago to Triple Crown because they had a bet. One of the guys thought that there really wasn't a Triple Crown, that I was Adam Carolla doing a show. Honest to God.
Really?
They had a bet. The guy goes, see, there is a shot. They came in, you know, and that I was talking, so they knew it was legitimate.
That's cool.
That's a good tie-in there, Bobby.
Wow. Hey, you know what? I tried.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
You're a subject of a bet. That's good.
A subject of a bet. Yeah, and plus, you know, you never know how many walls we're on with the pictures that people take.
Absolutely. A lot of tourists have taken pictures with us in the background, so. Yeah. I'm sure we made a few photo albums.
Without a doubt. Okay, Derek from Rochelle is online. What's up, Derek?
Morning.
Hi.
I've got, there are two Michael Jordan Rare Air lithographs. They come in like a royal blue box.
Okay. So are they numbered?
You know, I don't have them in front of me, and it's been a while since I opened them. I try to avoid kind of opening them for no reason.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I believe they're numbered. They come with a certificate of authenticity. I want to say they're larger than 3 foot by at least 2 foot. They're large prints.
So it's probably the poster size prints.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, check and see what the numbering. Bill, have you seen any of the lithographs on those that have come
I'm
through?
I'm just wondering if they're Upper Deck authenticated, because I want to say I thought Upper Deck issued some of that stuff around Michael's book.
I believe they are. I want to say the front of the box says Upper Deck, possibly, and it's got a basketball in the center, says Michael Jordan, Rare Air Collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, those were Upper Deck, in which case those are good. They're ready to go if you want to sell one of those.
It's that's already authenticated. So is that signed by Michael also?
I don't believe it's an actual signature. It's a facsimile signature, but they do have a signature on them. One of them is like a red paint handprints of his, and then another one is like a film type breakdown of him dunking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. If you want to either email me pictures or tweet me pictures, and you know, I can do a little research and find it, but those I'm pretty sure would be good Huggins and Scott auction items also.
I think they may be signed.
I think they might be too, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, check it out, Derek. Get some more info and get back to me during the week or call back on the show.
All right, will do.
Okay, very good. I had I went and saw a collection last week. John from the South Side had a lot of neat stuff, and an older gentleman, really cool guy. And one of the things he had, one of the Jordan posters, it was an like the original. It's almost like a printing plate, a template of a poster, one of the famous dunking Jordan posters, and that was signed by Michael. There can't be many of those.
Nope.
It'd be hard to estimate the value on that because there haven't been any like that. I mean, could you even give an estimate on something like that, Bill?
That would be hard. I mean, you know, Jordan signed things sell in the, you know, if it's not his game-worn jersey or something like that. Most of his Jordan stuff, Upper Deck, things like that, sell in the $800 to $1,500 range.
Yeah, correct. And maybe this one, because there aren't any around, might do a little extra. But that's what we were we were talking about it at Triple Crown with a couple customers, and it was kind of like, yeah, that's something that could go for $800, and it could go for $4,000 or $5,000,
right,
if a couple of people that are Jordan collectors just are dying for it. You just never know on an item like
pictures
that.
Pictures you sent on those items were amazing pictures.
Some
I mean, these were wow pictures.
Yeah,
beautiful
it was
stuff.
Fun going through his place and just looking at it and
hearing
his stories. He had a lot of great stories. Well, it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call us with a question about the value of a collectible. Get in a drawing. We're giving away a 2016-17 Panini Threads basketball box and a pack of Topps Tribute Baseball, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can call us with a question about the value of your collectible, 312-332-3776, or tweet an item to my attention. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If we use it on the show, you get in our weekly drawing. We're giving away a box of Panini Threads basketball and a pack of Topps Tribute Baseball today. So it's a good prize package, and we've got a few people waiting. So let's get right to a couple callers here. We've got Tom from the Northwest Side on the line. What's up, Tom? What do you have?
Hey, good morning. I got a program autographed by Ron Santo and Kenny Hubbs.
Ooh, Ken Hubbs, too, on that one, huh? So that was in early 60s that you would have had that signed.
Yeah, like 63.
Are they
like
both on the cover?
No, Ron's on the cover, Kenny's on the inside.
Okay, now, Bill Huggins, just for an example, just for so people know the difference, if they were both on the cover, Ken Hubbs died young in a crash. He was kind of like a Sandberg-type second baseman, up and coming for the Cubs. Real good young prospect. If they were both on the cover compared to one on the cover and one inside, how what percentages maybe in value, how does that affect it?
Well, it's all really in displayability a lot of times when you get items like that. How well does it display? And if you've got them in two different places, it's tough to display both of them. I think it would have more value if they were both side by side in a nice clear part of the cover of the magazine where you could see them, you know, clearly and everything. But Ken Hubbs' autographs still bring hundreds of dollars. I mean, there's a big following for his stuff out there. He was not around long enough to sign many autographs.
No. So from that standpoint, it might be worth sending to a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. We would want to sell that.
Okay. Very cool, Tom. Yeah, that's and if they were both on the cover, then you can frame it if you want. But sometimes people like to open an item like that anyway, especially if it was scored. Kind of interesting to see the inside of it also. But, yeah, he was a really good up-and-coming player, and I think it was a plane crash that he died in probably after maybe a year and a half in the majors. He might have even been Rookie of the Year. I'm not 100% sure of that. Lana from Lake Forest is on the line.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. My dad was a insurance auditor, and one of his clients was the White Sox. I have a 69 White Sox baseball signed by all the players. Is that worth anything?
It has value. Unfortunately, the 69 White Sox were not a very good team. That was like the Walt Williams, Walt No-Neck Williams and those guys. So a ball like that, if it's team side with signed with at least 20 names on it, you're probably looking at least $100 on it. But I'm trying to think Tommy John maybe would have been on that. I think that was before he got traded for Richie Allen. So, I mean, there's some decent names on it, but it wasn't a good team at all.
No, unfortunately. Okay, so about $100.
I would think, if you stop by sometime and show it to me, you know, it depends on the condition then. But if they were all authentic, you had it authenticated, that's probably somewhere $100, $150.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. It's kind of a neat idea. Anytime you get a team signed ball, there's going to be team collectors that like, no matter how bad the team might have been. That was back in the era when they had AstroTurf in the infield and the outfield had regular grass and it just looked terrible. It looked like
bad
they got
combination.
It looked like they got like the worst quality AstroTurf. It wasn't a good thing. No, not a good look. Pat from Dallas, Texas. Now, Pat, are you in Dallas right now and listening on the ESPN app, or are you in the Chicago area?
I'm listening on the TuneIn Radio app on my phone.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, that's good to hear that. What's up?
Hey, you guys deserve more than an hour. Also, you got a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I've got some 1950s all tops cards. They've never been graded. 58 Williams. 58 Banks, and a ton of 1960s, mainly like 65 through 68, Sandy Koufax, Drysdale, Gibson, Aaron Mays.
Oh, so you're mainly were a Hall of Fame collector from the 50s and 60s, not a set collector, Hall of Fame single cards.
Yeah, I used to get a bunch in the late 70s, early 80s for like Christmas presents.
Okay.
And I've taken good care of them. I guess I should get some of them graded. I just wondered what, like, a ballpark figure for some of those would be worth.
Well, I'll let Bill answer this, but to give you a quick rundown, if let's say you wanted to sell that whole lot and you sent them to Huggins and Scott Auctions to auction them for you, they'd look them over, and if there were any that it would help the value of them to get them graded, then they would get them graded for you. They do a really good job with that. So, Bill, you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, we'd be happy. I mean, that's our sort of bread and butter is shoebox collections from the 50s and 60s. That's probably what we have more bidders in our auction than on any other stuff that we sell. We, like Tom was saying, when people send us their collections, or Tom will send them to us if they bring them into T-Crown, we are auction coordinators. We spend the time and go through them, everything, and make lots with the common denominator. And we literally try and get as much money as humanly possible, because the way this works is the bigger check I write the consigners at the end, the more we get to keep. So we're in it as teammates.
Yeah. Now, Pat, do you have any of the Hall of Fame rookie cards mixed in, or is it just the later year cards?
I've got like a Clemente and from the 50s that says Bob Clemente, but I don't know if that's his rookie year. But I thought that was unique.
Yeah, they did that a lot in there, which I think he probably nixed that one. He didn't like that. He didn't want to be known as Bob, but that probably is not. I don't think the rookie says Bob on it, if I remember right. But
I have a mantle from the 50s, but it's not like the 50s. What's a good one? The 56.
Well, 52 Topps mantle is huge.
Oh,
a PSA 7 on a scale of 1 to 10 sells for over $300,000 right now. So look up, check your collection out, Pat. Who knows? But nope. If you do, if they are gradable. You know, maybe if you can send some pictures sometime, either via Twitter or email them to me, you know, I can give you a little better idea on values and if they would grade any if you sent them to Huggins. And thanks for listening down there in Dallas.
What's that?
I said thanks for listening down there in Dallas, too.
Oh, okay, great show. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
It's a nice collection he's got there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That is a neat collection. Yep. I was always more like that. I was more like I'd like to keep single cards. We could never get enough packs to have any chance to make a set anyway. Yeah. So I'd collect the single cards, but we ended up just throwing them all in a shoebox. And if we were lucky, I didn't write good man on. All right, some other items coming up in the Huggins and Scott August auction. Bidding begins July 24th, goes through August 3rd, so there's still time to get things in if you have something you'd like to send to them. Here's something you don't see every day, a Charles Dewin 1910 P13 Luxello cigar pen, a $250 minimum bid. He was another Phillies catcher from 1902 to 1916. A 1927 Babe Comes Home movie herald, two-page fold-over. It's basically an ad for the movie, $250 minimum bid. There's a lot of people that like to collect the movie posters.
Sure, absolutely.
Movie memorabilia. It makes a good decoration. Well,
great
in,
to
in
display.
The house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really does. There's a 1973 New York Mets team signed baseball with 29 signatures, including Willie Mays, Yogi Berra. And, okay, who is this? Le Grand Orange.
Le Grand Orange.
Yeah, that was his nickname, Le Grand Orange. Bill Huggins, do you know?
Rusty Staub?
Yes, that's
Thank
it.
You. Thank
that's
you.
It.
Rusty
Staub. Le Grand Orange. I think he got that
the
when he played
hair.
For the Montreal
yes.
Expos.
Yes.
They gave him
yes.
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
That nickname. Oh,
that
boy.
Once in a while, you know?
You had a blank look, and then all of a sudden the light bulb
yes,
went off.
I was searching. I was searching ahead. Yep.
He got it right. Next on the line, we've got Pistol Pat. What's up, Pistol? We got to get you your own tune, Pistol.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Like Mirovich, that guy can shoot the threes.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You got that right. I got from the mid-2000s when Upper Deck Portraits were starting to come out with the baseball and the basketball stuff. I got the 8x10 portrait with LeBron James auto on there. I'm not sure, but it's in my brother's man cave. He's got it displayed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how limited it is, but I think it's numbered or what. But I know he signed it, and it's 8x10, and that's when UDA started making those portraits 8x10s. I was wondering what the price on that would be.
I would think it's hundreds right now. I'd make sure it's not, if it's on display, that it's not where it's getting a lot of direct sunlight on it or bright lights on it that can kind of make it fade. That wouldn't help. But can you imagine how hot LeBron stuff would be if the Cavs happened to beat the Warriors here in this final? I was saying it this week, and now I've heard it a bunch on TV, but this really does remind me of the Lakers-Celtics in the 80s, because those teams, you just figured for about a 5-6 year period, they were going to make it to the finals. And the finals were great, but the rest of the playoffs were really not very entertaining at all.
It's good to see the battle.
This final should be really good. Hopefully it's a 6 or 7 game series and well fought close games.
What a great story of redemption for LeBron James to come back to Cleveland and bring that title back.
It's helped his image. Everything's been good about it.
Yep.
And now you wouldn't mind seeing Durant get a title, so we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Maybe we'll get a Steve Kerr sighting on the sidelines, if he's healthy.
Yeah, I don't know if he's
going
to be healthy enough to be back
That's
or
really
not.
Too
he's
bad.
Really, that back's really been messing him up.
Yep.
It's really been bad. Tom from Aurora is on the line. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good. What's new?
I got an autographed Ryan Sandberger with a replica baseball bat.
So not a game-used bat?
No.
Replica bat, I think. What do you think, Bill? Maybe $200, $200-$300 for a Sandberg bat?
Yeah, around $200 is what Sandberg bats go for.
Yeah. Bats definitely have held value better than photos and even single-sign baseballs for the Hall of Famers that are still living that have signed a lot of stuff the last 20 years. It seems like the signed bats prices do hold a better value. we're posing for the pictures here.
Picture out there.
It's a
there
holiday weekend.
That's
There's
right.
more people walking around than normal at this time of the morning. Steven from Lombard's online. What's up, Steven?
Hey, yeah, my dad's a contractor, and he was remodeling a house once and pulled a Mickey Mantle card out of a light box. It was creased. And it was shoved in there. But other than that crease, it's fine. I wondered how much that would go for.
Well, it depends at what year it is. If it's the 52 Topps Mantle, then you're talking still thousands with a crease. But then it drops, quite a bit after that. So it really would depend on the year. You still are any Mickey Mantle card from the 50s and 60s, even with a crease, will have value, just nowhere near the value that the mint condition ones go
right.
for. Bill, has there been anything that you've seen recently, or are you going to have a 52 Topps Mantle in your upcoming auction that you know of?
Oh, yes. The gentleman who's given us the Mantle collection has a 52 Topps in there as well.
Ooh,
sure.
How nice is that? Do you have any idea?
I think it was, I saw it when I was out there. I think it's somewhere in the 2, 3, 4 range.
That's still going to be good. This should be quite the collection. So they're going to put his name on the graded holders.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually thinking we could maybe work this out where the Saturday show that we have before the National, maybe we could get Bill on for a little segment to talk about how he's going to be there at the show. You know, we'd have to work that out with everybody. But
yeah, if he wants to do it, that would be interesting to hear him to tell about how long it took him to get everything and some of the cool stuff, the harder to get things. That would actually be very good, without
a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Roy from Dyer, Indiana was at the bottom of the screen. What's up, Roy? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you have?
I got a high school football program dated December 7th, 1941, due to be played in Illinois here. That was around the time that Pearl Harbor got bombed.
Yeah, that's the day, actually. What do you, Bill, any value to that? Anything that a sports item dated, even if it's a high school thing?
Did they actually ever play the game?
I'm not sure. I wasn't alive at that time, so I have no idea.
Right. I'm guessing they probably didn't, but you never know for sure.
I know there was a Redskins program that we've sold from December 7th where – during the game, I know we got to get out of here, but during the game, they would make announcements. Well, General so-and-so, please report to the front desk. Well, Colonel so-and-so, please report.
Wow.
And they had to figure out something was going on.
Yeah. So there would be some value to that. It's time. We're already at the end of the show. Time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Bobby from Naperville. So, Bobby, email me your address, vince@arcdelivery.com, and I'll get back to you, set up delivery to your house free of charge. Bobby, Naperville.
Either that, if Bobby wants to stop by Triple Crown and pick up the prize by Thursday, you have to come in by Thursday. Anytime, if it's easier for if somebody's going to stop by and do it. But if not, if you need ERC delivery, we'll do it free of charge. So,
that's right.
Whichever way works out better for the customer. And I don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Their bidding is July 24th through August 3rd. Lots of items up there already. I'm Tom Morgan at Triple Crown in Naperville. I'm at Triple Crown 6 days a week. And Vince Clementi, ERC Delivery. Happy Memorial Day. Thanks for listening.